Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My next guest is quickly becoming one of my favorite people, and he's becoming one of my favorite people not because he agrees with me, but because he disagrees with me in the right way, and he has some fun with it. Lonzo, I got to ask you this question, man. Earlier today, or I think it may have been yesterday, Tim Frisby, who's about to join us, was, you know, he was kind of, in a way, he was defending me to the hateful, to a percentage of the hateful Gamecocks crowd coming my way by saying that, you know, I'm kind of like Ben Mahler. You know, I offend people sometimes, but I'm always willing to bring people on the show that that may or may not agree with me. Would you, do you like that assessment?
I am always offended by you, so I don't entirely get it, but that's fine.
Okay,
yes.
Fantastic. Tim Frisby is affectionately known as Pops to Gamecocks fans. He played for the Gamecocks. He walked onto the team as a 40-year-old Gulf War veteran in 2004 and 2005, played for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier, and Tim Frisby joins us right now on the show. Tim, good afternoon. How are you, man?
My man, Mark, I'm doing great down here. Another hot day in Columbia here, but other than that, we're doing great.
So good to have you on again, Tim. So I figured, Tim, today, with between you and I, we'll get to a lot of different stuff. Is that cool with you?
Oh, that's cool.
We'll bounce around here. So, Tim, you appeared, you attained some a level of rock star celebrity status for walking onto the team, and then for all of your service in the Gulf War, and you've been a guest on Letterman and a guest on Jay Leno, so The Late Show with David Letterman and the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Because this is an experience that 99.9% of us will never have. What was that like? What were those experiences like? What is it like behind the stage? Are you having butterflies before you go out there? Can you kind of share with us some observations that you took away from those experiences?
Yeah, I think, you know, but obviously the first show that you do is kind of the most nerve-wracking because you don't know what to expect. But I did Letterman first, so got to New York. But the backstage, Letterman, you don't see until you actually get on the stage. So that's a little nerve-wracking in itself because you don't know what to expect. But behind the scenes, of course, there's other guest stars on the show with you, so you have time to mingle with them. And with Letterman, it was John Travolta and the band. I'm drawing a blank here right now.
It's okay.
But Pearl Jam.
Wow, so you were with Travolta in Pearl Jam.
I was with Pearl Jam.
Wow.
So I got to hang out backstage, and I'm sitting in a room, I'm talking with Eddie Vedder, and you know, he's told me he was following my story, and you know, we got to talking, and then he was saying, "I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you." He says, "I'll trade you a guitar for a signed jersey, Gamecock jersey." And of course, I'm looking over at the gentleman that was from the sports, from the athletic department that was with me. And that was kind of a no-go. You know, that's an NCAA violation right there. So I couldn't make that deal. But
oh, you're kidding me. There's Tim, there's no way I am absolutely going to be in fault of – I'm going to be guilty of violating NCAA rules there. A guitar from Eddie Vedder. There's no way I could have passed that up. No way.
Yeah, well, I was thinking hard about it, but I like playing a little more.
Good for you.
On the field than I did the guitar. So
good
at that
for you.
Time,
hey,
so.
just hanging with Eddie Vedder. Just a normal day at the office, right? Hanging with Eddie Vedder, rolling with John Travolta, right? Just
great,
a normal
great.
Day.
That's it. And then when we did Leno, the guests were Ewan McGregor, who was on Star Wars at the time, and the band was Duran Duran. So
you were on those shows on the best guest days of the entire year, Tim.
Right.
So Ewan McGregor and Duran Duran? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so I'm sitting backstage, and the gentleman from Duran Duran, he says, you probably don't probably don't know who I am, but I'm such and such. And I said, yeah, I kind of know who you are. So, it's exciting times.
Wow. That's incredible. Do you remember anything Dave Letterman asked you? Did you know what he was going to ask you ahead of time or no?
I had no idea what he was going to ask me. I know he had asked me about my my transcripts and stuff as the NCAA was going through them to get my eligibility in line. And I said, obviously it was hard for them to find because they were on stone tablets because it was so long ago.
I love it. Love it, man. Love it. So, just a normal day. Duran, Pearl Jam, John Travolta, Ewan McGregor. No big deal, right?
Right, exactly. So it got to be that point, yes.
Did you look back at those experiences, Tim, and find them as enjoyable? Were they life highlights for you?
Yeah, they were, because you never expect to be in a situation like that and be on shows that were with that much notoriety. And I just went into it as trying to present the university in the best light that I could when I went on those shows, and always gave, obviously, props to my teammates and coaches.
Hey, we told you we're going to bounce around from different topics today to you guys listening here in the upstate. South Carolina great Tim Frisbee joining us here on the show. We happen to agree on a baseball take, Tim. We haven't agreed on much, but we have agreed on a baseball take. Keith Law, this baseball guy for Sports Illustrated that has 500,000 followers, really kind of, you've seen my Twitter get blown up here recently. The same thing happened in March because I said the exact same thing that you did. And the baseball nerds, Tim, and what I said was, Mike Trout, one player isn't worth what the Angels are playing Mike Trout in baseball. He might be the best player in the game, but I'm pretty sure they could be in second to last or last place without him. What exactly is he doing for them in the one loss column? Everybody jumped all over me. You don't understand baseball. They're giving me analytics. And where are we again this year with the Angels, Tim?
Yeah, exactly. And I understand, obviously baseball's more of a team sport than any, and of course any profession where you can only be successful 30% out of the time and you're considered great, that adds problems to it. But he's a great player, but MVP, most valuable player, seems that you would add some type of value to your team and to their record. And I don't see it. Although, again, I believe he's a great, great player.
He's a phenomenal player, but their owner hasn't gone above $200 million in payroll once. And if he's going to pay one player that much, and those are his financial restrictions, good luck winning with that team.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So Tim Frisbee joining us here on the show. Tim, do Clemson's accomplishments reveal what's possible for South Carolina, or do the Tigers, in your opinion, have advantages that will never be present in Columbia?
Well, it does set kind of a blueprint of what can be done, because obviously during that 5-game win streak, Clemson said to herself, there's something we need to do to turn this around. And they were able to put that plan in action and actually do it. So from that standpoint, as far as putting a plan in action to better recruit, to turn the program around, to improve facilities and such, that's a blueprint that can be followed. Now, as far as the advantage they do have, and, obviously you get killed from ACC fans, but it is playing in the ACC. I mean, SEC fans will tell you, that's their perspective, that they have that distinct advantage of being able to offer wins to their recruits, that most likely they're going to, as long as they stay able to recruit at this level, be able to run the table in the ACC, where you just can't say that from year to year in the SEC.
No, you can't. You can't say that year after year. And, many people, South Carolina fans, would say to Clemson, you're not going to be undefeated in our conference. But I to be real with you, Tim, I didn't know it was possible in today's day and age for Clemson to win a national championship. I didn't know South Carolina was a fertile enough recruiting ground to win a national championship in today's day and age. And what Clemson's done is they're owning the fort locally, they're owning the fort regionally, and they're beginning to own the fort nationally as well. The Clemson is the it school that can go into any program, any home in the country and land a recruit. That's what they're able to do right now. So
yeah.
It's just I'm so curious, like, because I didn't think it was possible what they're doing. Could South Carolina do that with the right guy in charge? Could that happen?
Again, they could, but they're going to have to expand their net to exactly what Clemson's doing, because it's kind of like, reminds me of the old days with the Nebraskas of the world, where they didn't have a big footprint as far as recruiting in the Midwest there in the Nebraska area, but they were able to go out nationally because of television at the time and bring in guys from Miami and all these other places to come in nationally, and the same way with Tennessee, and kind of fit what they were doing. And that they were successful doing that. And then obviously as TV revenue became more of a thing, and other teams got involved, and Nebraska kind of fell off because they weren't able to cast that wide of a net anymore. But it's amazing that Clemson's able to do that in this market and still be successful doing that. But again, it sets a blueprint of what can be done, and obviously what South Carolina can do.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. My Gamecocks prediction, Tim, 8-4. Most difficult schedule in the country. They have 5 brutal games: Clemson, Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida, and Georgia. I think they win the rest of the games on their schedule. I think they win 1 out of those 5 brutal slate of games. Unfortunately, I think for me, the most likely win would come against Florida. And I think they shock the world. I think they go 8-4, and I think they finish in the top 15 in the country. Now, don't tell that, Tim, to all the Gamecocks fans that want to throw sharp, pointy objects at me, because they don't want to hear any of that. No, I said something about fan day. But I actually think the Gamecocks are in great position to have a surprising year this year.
Well, they can be. And like you said, they're going to have to win all the games that they're supposed to. They're going to have to win, like you said, you're saying 1, but they're going to have to win probably two of those 5 games that they're probably going to be underdogs in. And that's going to be the telltale for the season. Win the games you're supposed to, and have a few upsets in these toss-up games that, well, they're not even toss-ups. Some of them, they're going to be heavy underdogs. Others, they may be more of a toss-up. You're talking about Kentucky, Missouri, and such. But again, they're going to have to win a couple of those key games right there to have a successful season in the fans' minds.
South Carolina, great Gulf War veteran Tim Frisbee walked on to South Carolina at the age of 40 and fulfilled his eligibility, playing 1 year for Lou Holtz and 1 for Steve Spurrier in Columbia, South Carolina. We roll on here. Tim. So the other day, I fell into another inferno among South Carolina Gamecock fans. And I want to be very clear when I say this, because what I've found, Tim, hosting this show, is that the active participants in our show are fantastic. Those people who regularly, they'll debate me, they'll have fun, Tim, just like you and I are having fun, and we'll go back and forth, and it's fun. The ugly people have been largely people who don't live anywhere close to this area and just want to hurl insults online, but this is what set people off. I was at Clemson's fan day on Sunday. A media member came up to me and said the following: at South Carolina, they do fan day for 1 hour, and they give you a small poster. Here at Clemson, they go for a full 2.5 hours in the heat of day and are handing out thousands of autographed books. They're national champs. They don't have to do this, but they do. Tim, for the life of me, I can't understand why I was the object of disdain for so many thousands of South Carolina fans after I tweeted that. Can you help me understand that, please?
Well, obviously, South Carolina fans are some of the best in the world. But, they're very protective of their team. And obviously, they're just seeing little tidbits of things out there, especially in the Twitter world. There's only so many characters, so you can't really explain yourself fully. But I just think...
So wait a minute, Tim. If you can't explain yourself fully, why judge somebody fully?
Well, that's the nature of the world and what we're in nowadays. They're little sound bites, and if you don't listen to both sides and you only want to listen to stuff you're being fed, then you get this jaded kind of view or this one-sided view of the world, and you know, that's the little bubble you live in. So it's, you know, you need more things like this to hear both sides, and then kind of make your distinction once you you hear everything laid out in front of you.
So Tim, I really appreciated something you said. Somebody said today, when you said you were going to be on this show, somebody said, zero chance I listen to that guy's show, and certainly nothing against you, Tim. And Tim, you responded with the following. You laughed and you said he has his detractors. I have to give him credit, though. He's kind of like Bill Maher. He brings on people that don't necessarily share his point of view for segments. Would you rather that or tune into just shows that say what you want to hear? Tim, I'm beginning to wonder if a significant portion of the population just wants to tune into shows that tell them what they want to hear. I want honesty, yeah. Tim. I want honesty. I want somebody who's going to give me unfiltered, unbiased opinions.
Exactly, and that's what I think you're trying to do up there. Like I said, and that's why I said you even have the detractors in the upstate too as well, because you're not going to say everything that would that's going to please them either. But we need kind of both sides if we want to have valuable debate. I was listening to you earlier, and you were asking about Watson or Lawrence as far as Clemson's favorite quarterback, and I'll have to go against you. I'll have to say Watson.
Okay.
If you'd ask me.
Sure.
I don't like Lawrence's hair. I really don't like how he practices his Tai Chi on the shores of Lake Hartwell while co-eds are suing over him either. But that's here nor there. But I think Watson had it a little harder than Lawrence has as far as from a talent standpoint and as far as what he had to go through to get to his initial championship, being that, he was kind of almost, his career was almost sacrificed to secure a win over South Carolina early in his career when he was injured. Probably I wouldn't have had him out in the field, but they've really figured they needed to turn the tables on Carolina at that time, and he was that piece to do that. But and I think his numbers kind of stand for himself and how he was viewed as kind of this triple threat on the field where he could pass, run, throw. He could kind of do it all. I think he has that going for him too. So I would, that would be my pick if you were to ask me that question.
But I will ask you this, which we'll be getting to later in the show, Tim. What on a scale of 1 to 100? Okay. What is your confidence level that Will Muschamp is the right guy for this job long term today?
Well, I think that's all going to pan out in these next few years here, and I do think they're going to give him a few years to get this online. His recruiting has been amazing. I'm confident he's going to get the recruits in here that he needs to. Now it's all going to be in execution and how he can bring out the potential of these recruits that he has. That's what it's all going to boil down to. As winning cures everything. So eventually, it's going to have to show up on the field. He's going to have to win. And at this point, I feel that he could be the man, for the future of this program, but it's going to have to play out in the field. He's going to have some successes, and, we wish him the best.
So, Tim, would that be a confidence level of 60?
That would be, maybe I'm even a little higher. I think, I'm at a 70 right now.
Okay.
I think he has the potential to fulfill what needs to be done around here. It's just putting it in action and getting he actually has to have the right staff behind him. I think he's building that. All these pieces have to be in place. Obviously, he built the foundation the right way here, coming here, and now he has to build on that.
He's a Gulf War veteran. He played for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier. He is a very cherished member of Gamecocks football history. And oh, by the way, he hung out with Pearl Jam, Duran Duran, John Travolta, and Ewing McGregor. Alongside Tim Frisbee, I'm merely Mark Ryan. Tim, thanks again so much for your service to our country. Always enjoy having you on, bud. Let's do it again soon.
All right. We'll do soon. Anytime, Mark.
Thank you. Tim Frisbee, former South Carolina great. Love that guy. I love that guy. And see, he'll bust my balls on social media, but he does it in a fun way, and it's always in good-natured spirits. And I just, you know, like, I just want to communicate this to people out there. Insults are the lowest form of communication. It's the lowest form of communication. It's like the lowest, the least educated form of communication. It's just the bottom of the barrel. So, you know, learn how to communicate with people without throwing insults out there, because I don't have time for that. Tim Frisbee doesn't have time for that. And that's how we roll here on Offsides. I can handle a heated debate. We can debate things. But the second you go in the toilet with the insults, that's when you've lost me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.